Yeah, well, I think maybe a third of you are happy to be in the house of the Lord. Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord today?
Yeah,
yeah, amen. You know, I'll tell you what, God loves when we come into His presence with joy. You know, not out of compulsion or grudging necessity, but we're glad to be here. Amen. And of course, Pastor Brad, he quoted it when David said, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go up unto the house of the Lord." Because that's how we come to church, right? Glad and say, "Well, Pastor, I haven't had a very glad week." Well, I'll tell you what, don't let circumstances steal your joy, right? Don't let circumstances try to tell you when and where you can be happy. Because I tell you what, your joy comes from the Lord. It doesn't come from the job. It doesn't come from those outside things, right? It comes from God, amen? And if Jesus died and rose again to give you your joy, I tell you what, it would be a shame to set it aside, right? And let something of the world steal it. Don't let the world steal your joy. Don't let the world steal your sense of humor. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I just want to say again, thank you, Pastor Brad. I didn't know you were going to mention anything. But I'll tell you what, it's been a fantastic 10 years. And we're just getting started together. Yeah, you know, it was 10 years ago yesterday that I was installed as a senior pastor here in Jamestown. And I'll tell you what, it's been the best 10 years of my life. I love what God has called me to do. It's an honor to be the pastor of this church. It's an honor to be connected with you, my church family. You're just such a blessing. Praise God. You know, it looks like I think the applause may have convinced the children it was their time to go. And so they jumped in on my applause, so I jumped in on theirs. You know, is it okay to have fun in the house of God? Yes, it is. And for our visiting guests, again, we just welcome you. We just know that God's got an awesome plan for your life. He tells us over there in Jeremiah 29:11, "I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans not to harm you, but to prosper you, to give you hope and a future." Amen. Amen. I'll tell you what, that's what we're here for. We're here for God's plans for our lives. Notice He has already planned things for your life.
Right.
And so instead of us getting into our plans, let's get into His plans.
Yes.
Amen. And getting into that plan is all the provision you need, all the joy you need. But we have to go by the manual, right?
Sure.
You know, I know some of us, men especially, we don't ever want to read the instructions when putting something together. You know, I know that some of you dads, you know, don't you love how when you become a dad, you kind of get this engineering degree on Christmas Eve, you know, and you're putting together all these toys and things. And the temptation is really to just, you know, forget that huge instruction manual that it comes with and just, oh, come on, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a grown man. I can put this together. Well, you try to put it together without the instructions, and the kids end up getting a totally different toy than what they were supposed to get. You know, the same thing is true in life. If we try to build it or put our lives together without the instructions, it's going to look different than what it was intended. And so here at Family Church, it's a place to get answers for your life directly out of the Bible. It is not my opinions that matter. It's not your opinions that matter. It's God's opinion that matters. Amen. And so we just put that first. And of course, we'll have scriptures up on the screen. And so you know that what we teach, sometimes it's encouraging and we rejoice. Other times it's correcting and sometimes it's challenging. But we're just ready to receive all that God has for our lives. Amen. Boy, I tell you what, for those of you getting water baptized today, April Fools. You know, snow and cold and ice and wind. But, you know, good news for you. We're going to make sure to crack that ice off the top of the water before we put you in there. No, it's going to be warm. It's in the youth center up top there. We have the thermostat set on, I think, like 55 degrees or something. No, it'll be nice and warm for you. And so we're excited. It's just a blessing to see so many. I think we have about 30 or more people that are signed up for water baptism, so we're excited. As soon as this service is dismissed today, if you're getting water baptized, let's hustle right on up there because we have a lot of folks to minister to. And so there are bathrooms in this building if you want to get changed and then head up. or there are bathrooms up in the youth center that you can use to get changed. Get your towel ready, because we're full immersion here at Family Church, and we have a baptismal that's filled with water up there and ready for you. And of course, I will begin by giving some instruction once we get up there, and then we'll get right into the baptism part of it. So glad that so many of you signed up for that. But again, just remember, as soon as we're dismissed, it's hustle time, right? It's get changed and get up there, because we want to make sure to minister to everybody in a timely fashion. Praise the Lord. You ready for the Word of God here today? Turn with me over to the book of James. Praise the Lord. Hey, if I didn't get an opportunity to introduce myself to our new folks here today, my name is Pastor Tim Stallman. Our associate pastor is Pastor Brad Holford. We're just so glad to see you. Yeah. We cannot emphasize that enough. We love new family. If you're looking for a Bible teaching church, we'd love to be your church family. We'd love to get to know you and get you going in God's plan for your life. Go over to the book of James, chapter 5, and I'm going to call this message the prayer of faith and how to receive healing. How to receive healing the Bible way. Praise the Lord. Now we know that, how many of you know that when Jesus was on the cross, the Bible says in Isaiah 53 verses 4 and 5, that he carried our sicknesses, he bore our sicknesses, and he carried our pains, right? How many of you remember over there in Psalm 103, verse 2 and 3, it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all of our sins and heals all of our diseases." So what are the benefits of the Lord? He forgives our sins, heals all of our diseases, right? How about 1 Peter 2:24? Who in his own body, in his own self, in his body on the tree, talking about Jesus on the cross, he bore our sins that we, being dead to sin, should live under righteousness, right? By whose stripes you were healed, right? And so God even told the Jews back there in Exodus chapter 23, verse 25, he said, "You shall serve the Lord your God. He will bless your bread and water," right? He said, "I will take sickness from your midst." Remember Exodus 15, 26, the last sentence there? He says, "I am the Lord that healeth thee," right? Psalm 107, verse 20, "He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions," right? Proverbs 4:22, speaking about the word of God, "For they are life," the words of God, "are life to those that find it, and health to all of their flesh." Amen. Health to our flesh, right? And so, how many of you know that God has provision for healing in our physical body? And that is good news. Now, see, I was raised in a denomination that didn't believe that healing was for today. You know, and then I started getting into the New Testament and the Old Testament and started to see that God provided healing for us in his word. Yeah. The very words of God create health and strength. Amen. Remember over there, Proverbs 16:24, it says, "Pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and strength to the bones." Yeah. Right? And so we have so many scriptures. Proverbs 15 and verse 4, the Amplified says, "The tongue with its healing power is a tree of life." You know, I like that. You know, because it tells us that the words that we speak, our healing is won or lost through the words of our mouth. Right? Sounds like Proverbs 18:21, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Those that love it will eat the fruit thereof." Okay, and so we have so many promises, and we're going to look at another one here in the book of James, of how God wants us to experience physical strength, health, and vitality. His body was broken, right, so that our bodies wouldn't have to be. Amen. And so today I want to instruct you exactly how we biblically receive what God has given to us for healing. And the Bible calls it in James chapter 5, the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith. Jesus talked about it in Mark 11, 23. John the Apostle in 1 John chapter 5, he talks about it, and we may go over there here in just a moment. But let's look at what James says, and he says it in direct correlation with healing in our bodies. Listen, I'll tell you what. when Jesus died and rose again, he was there to provide every need that humanity would ever face. He died for us spiritually so that we could live healthy spiritually. He died physically so our physical bodies could be healed, right? He died for us emotionally. He took the fears, the griefs, and the sorrows, and all the world's anxieties and concerns upon him as well. And fourthly, he also took the world's poverty upon him. He carried poverty so we don't have to be broken down and broke in life where everything is just a financial struggle. God has taught us how to live financially. Amen. He's taught us how to live spiritually and emotionally. Amen. And so let's go over to James 5. And why don't we start in verse 13? I think there's just so many goodies in these verses. We don't want to skip it. We're going to talk about what the Bible calls the prayer of faith. It is a specific prayer, all right? It is a way to receive what God has for us. Now let's watch this. In verse 13, it says, is any among you afflicted? It means to be troubled or tried. We've all been in trials before. We know what they are. It could be anything physical, financial, marital, you know, maybe with your children, with your job, whatever it is. It's talking about just trials and troubles. It says, is any among you afflicted, let him pray. All right? So many times when we get troubled, you know, the first thing that we do is we try to get everybody and anybody praying for us, okay? Which in and of itself is not wrong. But notice the first responsibility of praying through a trial or trouble. It's not your family. Right. It's not even your church. The first line of prayer is from you.
Amen.
You know, is anyone afflicted? Is anyone tried? Is anyone troubled? Let him pray. Notice this, that not your church, not your family, not Sister Prayer Warrior. Nobody can do your praying for you. If the trouble is there, God expects you to come to him and you talk about it. You cannot dish off your prayer responsibility on somebody else. Listen, because if you don't care enough about your trial to release your own faith for it, then it isn't going to work if everyone else tries to release their faith for you. And that's why, you know, you'll notice like, Pastor Brad will say it, we'll say it a lot. You know, when you put your prayer requests on that prayer card, we are not praying instead of you. We are praying in agreement with you, okay? You can't just put it as, well, I've submitted my prayer request to the church. I'll let them handle it, and I'm not going to pray. No, we're there to pray in agreement with you, not instead of you, all right? So if anyone's troubled or tried, let that person pray. There it is. Now it says, is any merry, not married, it says, is any merry or joyful, let him sing psalms, all right? Okay, just like there is an expression of our faith, I'll tell you what, with the joy of the Lord on the inside of us, we should be merry. Yeah. Now that doesn't mean you'll always feel that, because joy is a choice. Sure. But notice it says, when you're merry, sing psalms.
Yeah.
Or that's like, we could say, sing worship songs, right? Now, I can't do your singing for you, right? I can't sing for you, all right? You got to do your own singing, right? Just like in the same way, I can't do your praying for you, right? If you got to do your own singing, you got to do your own praying, right? Praise the Lord. And I'll tell you what, you'd think, well, Pastor, this is just obvious. Well, folks, you won't even begin to believe how many people do not pray in their own trial. They try to get on every prayer chain. They try to get everybody else praying. And then when it comes right down to it, they don't do their own praying. There's no one that has the authority in your trial like you do.
That's right. Very good.
There's no other voice that God's going to hear greater in the midst of your trial than your own voice. Yes, others can come alongside and assist and pray with you, but we can't pray instead of you, all right? Your own voice has the greatest answers. Your own voice makes the greatest impression in the throne room,
right?
More so than your pastor, more so than It could be Billy Graham praying for you. It doesn't matter if you're if it's your trial, you pray.
That's right.
Woo-wee. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Let's keep reading. Verse 14. It says, is any sick among you? And of course, that answer could be yes or it could be no.
True.
He says, but here is what you do and how one way you deal with sickness in the church. He said, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. All right. Now, let's keep on reading. Verse 15. It says, and the prayer of faith. Everyone say, prayer of faith.
Prayer of faith.
That's what we're talking about. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he had committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. There's the benefits of the Lord again. Forgiving our sins, healing all of our diseases, right? Right here in the smack middle of the New Testament, talking for healing for the church.
Right, that's right.
Okay? Now go back to verse 14. It says, if anyone is sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. This is one way that the prayer of faith can be ministered. However, it is not the only way. All right? The greatest way for the prayer of faith to be ministered is when you pray the prayer of faith over your situation. All right? Now, in context, it's really talking when we have to call the elders of the church together, that would be your pastors and whatnot, and they pray over that person, anointing with oil in the name of the Lord. That is typically reserved when people, when they haven't had their own faith taught of how to release the prayer of faith. If you haven't been taught how to pray the prayer of faith, well, then calling upon your pastors or whatever is an acceptable form. But the highest form to receive is that you learn how to pray the prayer of faith and you receive through the prayer of faith. All right? Because the prayer of faith is not only reserved for church elders, pastors, and so on. Okay? That's one way that it can be ministered. However, the greatest way is when you pray the prayer of faith yourself. Look at verse 15 and notice what the prayer of faith can do. Here's what we're after. And the prayer of faith shall save. I like that. You could just say it like that, and it sure makes a lot of sense. The prayer of faith shall save. All right? Now, of course, in context, it's talking about sickness. He says, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. But doesn't the prayer of faith also save?
Yes, it does.
That word save there in the original Greek, it's a very deep word. Okay, we don't have a word in English that is as deep as this Greek word. It means to save, it means to heal, it means to make whole, it means to bring peace, it means to fix the broken. Yeah, praise the Lord. Isn't that how you received Jesus Christ when you were saved? You prayed the prayer of faith for salvation and you got born again. The prayer of faith shall save. It will save your spiritual, eternal soul, right? The prayer of faith can heal your body. The prayer of faith can bring joy. The prayer of faith can fix that which is broken. The prayer of faith can make whole. See, this is what we need to learn. This is how we receive from God the prayer of faith. All right? So that word save there, we just, you know, we read it casually. And we don't receive all that it's talking about. But the prayer of faith, it can save us spiritually. The prayer of faith can save us physically.
Yes.
The prayer of faith can save us emotionally. The prayer of faith can save us financially.
Yes.
Can save us maritally.
Yeah.
The prayer of faith is unhindered.
Yeah.
The prayer of faith is unlimited.
Yeah.
It is not limited by any means. It is not limited by money. It's not limited by your church background or lack of church background. It's not limited by anything. It's not gender related. It's not race related. It's not anything related. God is not a respecter of persons. He is a respecter of the prayer of faith.
Amen.
Come on now. I'll tell you what. for the body of Christ to know and understand how to release the prayer of faith.
Right, right.
It says, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he has committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. So notice the prayer of faith can heal your body and it can forgive sins.
Yes, that's right.
That's wonderful news.
Yes.
Because isn't that a lot of what we face right then and there? All right, so now let's start looking at exactly how the prayer of faith works. And before we turn over there, let me just say this, because this is huge. This is the biggest part of the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith is what you believe has already been done for you. You cannot pray the prayer of faith until you know what has already been done for you. The prayer of faith will not work if you still have the mentality that there's something that God needs to do to get you healed or to fix your problem or whatever. Faith is always past tense.
Good.
Meaning past or present tense. We should say it this way. Faith is always believing in what work is already finished.
Yes.
All right? When you got saved, right? When you asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, did God have to send Jesus again?
No.
You know, maybe you got saved this year, or maybe you got saved 10 years ago or 20 years ago or however long it was. Jesus had already went to the cross.
Right.
He had already died and rose again.
Yeah.
You weren't there. You didn't see it with your eyes. You've never seen Jesus on the throne, but yet you believed in your heart, and right, you acted on what God already did.
Amen.
All right? Healing is the same thing. You have to believe that that healing has already been provided for you.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. Faith is always believing what God has already finished.
Yeah.
You know? Because there's a lot of believers that say, you know, why won't God heal me? You're in the wrong. Faith won't work in that environment.
Because
they'll say, man, I'm just believing that God will heal me. Too late. He already did 2,000 years ago.
That's it.
See, you're looking for healing to be a matter of the future when God says that healing is a matter of the past. You, in as far as God is concerned, you were healed 2,000 years ago.
That's right. Amen.
Right?
Good.
Oh, maybe I need to show you that first. Okay, let me show you this. I don't know. Hold your place there in James 5. Not sure if we're going to come back there, but I wasn't planning on going here. But go to Isaiah 53 again, because we have to look at this. Healing just seems what I've been ministering on lately, and so we're going to minister on it. All right, Isaiah 53, verse 4. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. All right, and let's read it here. He says, surely, this is talking about Jesus, and this was actually spoken 750 years before Jesus stepped foot on this planet, and so it's a prophecy of what Jesus would do. It says, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Again, when you read those words, it almost seems like it's exclusively just about mental trials, griefs and sorrows. But can we bring up the Amplified Bible? It really brings out the original Hebrew. It says this, surely Jesus has borne or carried our griefs, our sicknesses, our weaknesses, and distresses. So it's illness, both body and mind.
Yes, it is.
Aren't you glad?
Yes.
You don't need to be bipolar anymore. Jesus carried it for you.
Amen.
You don't need to be depressed and filled with fear anymore. Because Jesus carried it for you.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. So, well, I didn't know that. Well, now you do, and now you know what to say.
That's right.
Wait a minute. When depression tries to knock on your head, you say, wait a minute. Nope, Jesus carried it.
That's right.
I don't have to.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Just like when symptoms knock on your door. Nope, Jesus carried it. I don't have to. Because he bore or carried my weaknesses and distresses, my sicknesses, and he carried our sorrows and pains. All
right,
of punishment, yet we ignorantly considered him stricken, smitten, and afflicted by God as if with leprosy. But we know that he wasn't. That's describing what the people thought. When they looked at Jesus on the cross, they thought that God was punishing him for what he did.
Yeah.
They looked, they said, see, God is smiting him for calling himself the Son of God and calling himself the Messiah and all this, but verse 5 tells us why what was really happening. It wasn't God that was punishing him because of what he did. He was wounded for our transgressions.
Amen.
Jesus bore the penalty of our sin. He was bruised for our guilt and iniquities. The chastisement needful to obtain peace and well-being for us was upon him. See, that's what Jesus purchased for us. Peace and well-being, spirit, soul, and body. All right? Our peace and well-being was upon him. And with the stripes that wounded him, we are healed and made whole.
Yes.
When were the stripes laid upon Jesus? 2,000 plus years ago.
Right.
And notice it was with those stripes, the Bible says, you are healed.
That's right.
Those stripes didn't happen 5 years ago, 10 years ago, or 15 years ago.
Right.
Those stripes were laid upon Jesus' back when he was beaten and when he was whipped with the cat of nine tails.
That's right.
When his skin was laid open and blood flowed out of his back, the Bible says he was wounded with those stripes that we would be made healed and made whole. Aren't you glad?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. When did it happen? 2,000 years ago. So when did you get healed? 2,000 years ago.
That's right.
We're not looking for God to do anything more. There is nothing more that he needs to do to purchase healing. It's already purchased.
Right.
The stripes were already laid upon Jesus' back.
Yes. Right.
We cannot do anything more than what God did back here. Now, real quickly, we'll bring up the same. The scripture says something identical in the New Testament. Again, 1 Peter 2:24. If you can bring that up. I wasn't planning on going there. These verses, I would just keep preaching on them.
Amen.
The last several weeks, just keep preaching on them. All right? Who, speaking of Jesus, his own self bare or carried our sins in his own body on the tree. So where were our sins placed? Upon Jesus' body when he was on the cross. You see the scriptures tell us. It says that we, being dead to sin, should live under righteousness. That's the plan of God now. It's not the extreme grace message that says, well, he paid for your sins, so just keep on sinning. He said he put your sins to death so that you can live a new life in righteousness. Some Christians don't want to live that way, though. And so they keep reviving their old sins. Well, you're going to get in trouble. You do that. We're dead to sin. We live under righteousness. By whose stripes upon his back you were healed. Okay? Now remember, in Isaiah 53, verse 5, it says, with his stripes you are healed, because Isaiah was looking forward to the coming Messiah. And now, when Peter wrote this, this was after Jesus died and rose again. And so notice he looks back.
Yes, he does.
He looks back upon the stripes of Jesus. He says, with those stripes, you were healed.
Yes.
So when did your healing take place? 2,000 years ago. And if you were healed upon those stripes upon Jesus' back, then you're healed now.
That's right.
And you say, well, Pastor, what do you mean I'm healed now? I still feel, you know, pain in my body, or I'm still dealing with symptoms. Symptoms do not change what God thinks. Circumstances don't change the promises of God, and they sure do not change what Jesus bore and paid for 2,000 years ago. My symptoms don't tell me I'm healed or not. My body doesn't tell me I'm healed or not. The Bible tells me I'm healed or not. Just like my body doesn't tell me I'm saved. My mind doesn't have to tell me I'm saved. Because what if I don't feel saved today? What if I don't act saved today? It's not my plan, not my goal, but what if? Have you ever done something that wasn't exactly salvation in motion? You ever been a little, I see spouses looking at each other, come on now. You said something snotty, you did something at work, I don't know, lost your cool, lost your temper, you know, said something you shouldn't or whatever. Was that exactly salvation in motion? No, but it didn't change the fact that you're saved.
Right.
You don't look to your body to tell you if you're saved.
Right.
You look to the Bible that tells you you're saved.
Yes.
Because I'll tell you what, too many Christians are trying to live by their feelings. They're trying to live by, I'm waiting for the circumstances to tell me what's true. I don't look to the circumstances to tell me what's true. The Bible is what tells you what's true. And what is true is that you are healed, symptoms are not.
That's right. Glory to God.
Come on now.
Amen.
And so God is looking for us to release the prayer of faith that says, I am the healed of the Lord.
Good.
Right?
Amen.
Just for the sake of time, can you bring up Psalm 107, verse 2? One of our favorite verses around here. Psalm 107, verse 2. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
That's right.
Right? Okay, when you were redeemed 2,000 years ago.
Yes.
And when you were redeemed, what took place? You were redeemed from sin.
Yes.
First and foremost, highest blessing of God. Your sins were carried by Christ so you wouldn't be punished for them.
That's right.
All right? He paid the price for you spiritually. All right? But when you were redeemed, he also carried your sicknesses and diseases.
Yes.
His body was broken, so yours doesn't have to be.
Amen.
Amen. That was part of your redemption.
Yes.
Okay? Also, he carried your griefs and your sorrows or mental distresses.
Yes.
He carried your fears.
Yes.
He carried your worry. You can see it on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me?
Right. Yeah.
Really, what Jesus was saying, why am I all of a sudden afraid for the first time?
Okay.
For the first time in his eternal existence, he felt afraid.
Yeah.
Meaning, he didn't just feel afraid. He was completely abandoned and by himself.
Right. Right.
God had to turn his back upon Christ because he was carrying our sin.
Right.
Because that's what happens to sinners.
That's right. Yeah.
Until you know Jesus Christ, the back of God is turned towards you.
Yeah.
God can't hear you until you turn to Christ.
That's right.
Right? All right? So he says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You can say it this way. Let the redeemed of the Lord release their faith.
That's true. There you go.
I am redeemed from sin.
Yeah.
I just said so.
That's right.
Why? Because not circumstances. It didn't say let the circumstances say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say what is true.
That's right. That's good.
I am redeemed from my sin. I am redeemed from sickness and disease.
Yes.
I am redeemed from poverty and lack. I am redeemed from anxiety and fear.
That's right.
Come on now. That's what Jesus carried for us. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Notice that he says, with the stripes that were laid upon Jesus, you were healed.
That's right.
Go back over there, and of course, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Go to 1 Peter 2:24 again. He says, you were healed.
That's right. Yeah.
No, I got to keep saying that. Because some of you are still saying, well, wait, I'm still waiting to get healed. No, then you're violating the principles of the law of the prayer of faith.
Right.
The prayer of faith never says, I hope I get healed. Say, well, man, what do you mean? That pastor down there at that church said it's wrong for me as a Christian to say, I hope I get healed in my body. That's exactly right. You are violating God's word.
That's right.
And of course, naturally, yeah, you want healing in your body.
Sure.
But God is not waiting for you to say, I hope so. He's waiting for you to say, I know so.
That's it.
Because, you know, but hoping is future tense. Hoping says, I'm still waiting for something to happen.
Right.
But faith says, it's already done.
Yes.
A lot of Christians are in hope and they're not in faith. God does not move upon the hope. He moves upon faith.
Good.
It didn't say the prayer of hope shall save the sick.
No.
It said the prayer of faith shall save the
That's
sick.
Right. Sure.
And if you're sitting there, I'm just hoping for it to happen. Well, then it won't. Because you're still thinking it's yet to take place. God says, wait, get out of that thinking. It has already taken place.
Yes.
It is bought, it is purchased, it is paid for.
Yes, that's right.
He's waiting for you to say, I say so.
Yeah, that's right.
Right? How many of you are saved and you say so?
Yes.
Anyone not raising their hand? We'll have an altar call if not.
Yeah.
Right? You said so. You just boldly say, oh, I say I'm saved.
Yeah.
I say it. Well, how do you know? Well, because I believe it. I say so. Jesus died. He rose again. I'm saved. I believe it. I've received him as my Lord and Savior. You can't talk me out of it.
That's right.
Well, why can't you get into that same exact mentality about your healing?
Yes.
Right. See, that's what faith is. You get so convinced in what God has already done.
Right.
I just look back. I'm not hoping that Jesus raises from the dead.
Yeah. Right.
He already did.
Already.
I'm not hoping they lay stripes upon his back so I can be healed. They already did. I'm not hoping to get saved. I'm not hoping that God remembers me at the resurrection of the just. I know he will. It's already done. In the same way, we shouldn't be saying, I hope I get healed. Why are you hoping for something that God has already done? See, until you get convinced that it is a finished work, Jesus said on the cross, what is it over there? John 19? He said on the cross, it is finished. There's nothing more that God needs to do to get you saved, to get you healed, to get you delivered from fear, to get you delivered from poverty. Nothing more that he needs to do. Oh, come on now. I'm trudging through. I can feel. That's why I haven't moved on. I'm going to just keep going until light bulbs go off. Because there's some people, they're still sitting there. And unfortunately, a lot of the time, it's the result of religion. Many of us, we grew up in a religious kind of mindset, maybe from another denomination or section of Christianity that was always just telling, well, I hope it does this. I hope I get healed. I hope. Well, they taught you wrong. Because I'm not hoping God does anything. He already did it. God doesn't want us to hope in something that may or may not happen. He wants us to believe in what did happen. Come on now. Praise the Lord. Go to 1 John chapter 5. I told you we were going to go over there. Amen. Say, well, Pastor, I'm just hoping I get healed. Get out of that. Right. Stop hoping you get healed. Start saying you are healed. Because if you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior 2,000 years ago, he rose again to put God's stamp on your salvation, on your healing, on your peace, and on your joy. Glory to God. 1 John. We'll show you how the prayer of faith works. The prayer of faith always believes what God already did.
That's right.
I'm not looking to get healed. I am. Say, well, Pastor, the symptoms say that. No. You're still trying to get your truth from circumstances. But, Pastor, the doctor's report said this. Well, thank God for good doctors. And listen to them. And you still want to. This is not erasing the medical community. Thank God for good, helpful doctors. I believe they're on the same team. God wants people strong and healthy. Doctors want people strong and healthy, right? But I'll tell you what, and doctors, their job is just to report naturally what's going on.
Sure.
Yeah, it might be a natural fact that you might have a report that says this, that, and this. But here's the truth, you're healed.
Amen.
And here's the thing, is that truth changes the facts.
Yes, it does. Glory to God.
See? Facts can change, but truth never changes. Facts change, but truth never changes. See, facts are going to have to yield to the truth, right? It's kind of like this. When you take, you know the hardest substance in the world, what is it? A diamond. And all the ladies said, oh, yeah? Tell me more. But diamonds are the hardest substance in the world, and maybe unbeknownst to many of us, that diamonds aren't just used for jewelry. There are saws that dig into the earth, huge saws. They're diamond saws. And of course, I don't mean those pretty little polished cut things that you have in your rings or whatever. They put big chunks of diamond. You know a diamond that's uncut is worthless? It's a chunk of rock. And it doesn't look clear. That's, it looks dirty. And, but they file these big teeth out of diamond and they put them on saws. And that diamond saw, it can go right through granite. It can cut through steel. There's nothing that can stop a diamond cutter because the diamond is the hardest known material on this earth. And everything that comes up against it must yield to the strength of that diamond. In the same way, all right? In the same way, facts come up against the truth. And because the truth is stronger and the truth is harder, so to speak, those circumstances, like maybe whatever's in your body or whatever you're facing, when it comes up against the truth, it's got to yield to the truth. Because the truth is stronger, the truth is harder, right?
Amen.
I like that. I like that definition. Remember, and of course we won't go over there for the sake of time, but remember when Jesus told his disciples, oh, where He said it several different places. Mark chapter 10, I believe. You can get over there. It's in the Gospels. Remember, he told his disciples, he said, you are the ones that have continued with me. If you continue until the end, you shall be saved. Right? Remember that? Well, do you know what that word continue means? It's actually the Greek word diameno. And I'm not trying to impress you with Greek because I can read the same books that you can. All right? But the word diameno is a Greek word that means to continue or not to stop, which is where we get our word for diamond.
Nice.
All right? The word diamond comes from the word unstoppable.
That's good.
Yeah, that's who we are.
Yeah.
We're diamonds in the body of Christ. We are filled with his truth. And when we come up against hard substance, guess what? We go through it.
That's right.
Yeah. We're not stopping. Glory to God. Amen. And that's what it is when you have the truth on the inside and you come up against the facts. Those facts have got to give way if you will use the prayer of faith right.
Yes, that's right. Good.
1 John chapter 5. Here's how you continue through those things. Go to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. Here is how the prayer of faith works. Glory to God.
That's right. Come on.
You getting anything out of this here today?
Yes.
Glory to the Lord. 1 John 5:14. It says this. It says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will. Here's a major principle with the prayer of faith. You must know God's will ahead of time.
Yes, that's true.
Why did I take you to all those verses? Why did I mention, you know, Exodus 23, Exodus 15, Proverbs, you know, 4:22 and 16:24 and Psalm 103, verse 2, 3, 1 Peter 2:24. Why did I show you all of those scriptures about healing? So that you will know it's God's will to heal. See, there's some believers are still unsure that God's will is to heal. You can't receive from God until you know his will.
That's right.
What if you're unsure that it was God's will to save you? How would you receive salvation unless you were convinced it was his will to save you? All right? It is his will to heal you. Can you just bring up some scriptures? Because I just want to really make sure you know it's his will. How about Acts 10:38? How about Acts 10:38? Here's a good scripture to know it's the will of God. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. I believe Jesus was anointed by God, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah. What did Jesus do because of his anointing from God and the Holy Ghost? Who went about doing good. Notice Jesus never did one thing evil to anybody.
No.
Jesus never made one person sick.
Never did.
He never made one person depressed. Right? He never made one person afraid except for the hypocrites.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? All right? He went about doing good. That's all God does. God does good. God good, devil bad. And you would think that more Christians would understand that, but they think there's still people that believe that God makes people sick to teach them a lesson. Wrong. If God did that, Jesus would have had to make someone sick. Remember over there in John 14? Remember when Jesus told Philip, he said, Have I been so long with you, Philip, that you've seen me and you don't recognize me as the Father? And he said to Philip, he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father.
That's true.
He said, for I can only do what I see the Father do.
That's right.
So if you've ever wondered what God does, look at Jesus' life. Did Jesus ever make anyone sick?
Never.
Did he ever make anyone depressed?
No.
Did he ever teach someone a lesson by making them sick?
No.
Because he was anointed by God. And by the Holy Ghost, he went about only doing good, because that's what God does. Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come that they might have life and have it more abundantly.
Right?
See, we got to at least get to the point where we don't confuse God and the devil anymore.
Yeah, come on.
A lot of churches still are believing that God is the author of sickness. Wrong. Wrong. And how are you going to receive God, your healer, if you still think he's a sickness giver? You can't receive from him until you know he's good and always good. Oh, I know I'm stepping on somebody's sacred cows. You know, people say, well, are you trying to, you know, criticize, you know, churches and what other people believe? No, absolutely not. But you know what? It does bother me when I see God's people getting their lunch eaten by the devil when God had so much more for them. But unfortunately, they just sat in a place for decades that just said, well, God was teaching you a lesson. God had his reasons to do that to you. No, the devil knocked on your door, and you needed to tell him to get lost.
That's right.
Anyhow, I get passionate about that. It's not because I'm critical of anyone.
Right.
It has nothing to do with criticism. It's not personal. I just love God's people.
Yeah.
I want God's people to have the highest, the best, everything that God promised for them, and not sitting there thinking that God's doing something to them when he's sitting there thinking, I gave everything.
That's right. That's exactly right. My goodness.
Right? We love around here Romans 8:32.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That how he spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not also with him freely give us all things?
That's right.
1 Peter 3:10. Who will love life and see good days? Who will love life and see good days? Let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile.
That's right.
You can't be talking the wrong thing and expect the good days.
Right.
Come on now. People think that Jesus is a sickness giver? No, he's not. No, he's not. He's the healer. He went about doing good and what? Healing all that were oppressed of the who?
Devil.
The devil. The devil is the oppressor, not Jesus. He's not. He's Jesus the healer, not Jesus the oppressor. We have to know who God is and who the devil is. And it says that he went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Why? Because God was with him. Is it God's will to heal?
Yes.
Does God want to? Yeah. Remember what Jesus said? I just keep repeating it. Remember when they lowered the man down through the roof, the man that was born by four?
That
in Jesus, it says he looked up, seeing their faith, and the man got down there at the bottom, and Jesus said, be of good cheer, right? Get up, because your sins are forgiven. And remember how the Pharisees were extremely, angry? They said, how dare he say that your sins are forgiven? In Jesus, it said, Jesus knowing their thoughts, he said, for what's easier to say? He said, your sins are forgiven, or rise up and take your bed and walk.
Yeah.
He basically said, what's easier for me to say, your sins are forgiven, or your sicknesses are healed?
Yeah. Yeah.
He says, what's easier for me to say?
Yeah, yeah,
now let that sink in. What is easier, to say that you're forgiven, or to say that you're healed?
Right.
Jesus posed that question. Let's think about it ourselves.
Yeah.
What is easier? Because Jesus is saying they're both easy.
Yes.
Because if you can say you're saved, you can say you're healed.
Come on.
I know I'm rocking somebody's theological candy jar. Welcome to my life. I'll tell you what, if I'm not a hero to some and a villain to others on any given day, well then I'm not obeying God somewhere. You know, because I'm not here to try to rock the boat, but we're just here. Let's get into the scripture. You know, well, God did this to me. God did it. No, he didn't. Well, God had a sovereign reason to kill so-and-so. No. The Bible says death is the last enemy.
That's right.
People say all the time, God came and took so-and-so. God didn't take him. I'm going to tell you something right now. God is not the creator of death. You know that. Sin is the creator of death. For the wages of sin is death. But yet, we walk around with our traditional religion. Well, God took them. No, we all will face, because of sin entering into humanity, our bodies will all face a limited lifespan on this earth. Our bodies may die, but we won't die.
Right.
All right, so don't misunderstand me. Just because someone reaches an age and they go on home to heaven, that doesn't mean they were lost or a sinner or they were evil. No, our bodies are going to expire.
Sure.
If Jesus tarries, our bodies are going to expire.
Right.
All right, but come on now. We have to make sure we understand who's doing the good and who's doing the evil. Right? God is doing the good. The devil is oppressing people with sickness and disease. All right? I mean, this isn't Family Church Bible. This is the Bible. Right? God, Jesus was doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. So sickness is the same as demonic or devilish oppression. And God wants people delivered from it.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I mean, say, well, Pastor, that's your interpretation. I don't know if there's any interpretation required there. Jesus did good, healed all. Amen. Now, 1 John 5:14, we're going to get to this, and then we are going to invite you today, if you would like to receive prayer for something in your body. Now, folks, you know, what we're talking about today, and when we minister healing, how can I say this? If maybe you just didn't have enough coffee this morning, you know, maybe that's not the prayer line time to jump in, you know. Or, you know, we're talking about if there's something in your body that you need help, you know, and you need God's healing touch, then you're, you know, invited to come in. But it's not a curiosity seeker thing either. You know what I mean? It's for those that are facing sickness, and we're going to pray the prayer of faith over you. Praise the Lord. It says, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, is it his will to heal?
Yes.
So if you know his will,
right,
you can ask for it, and you can ask for it with confidence.
Yes.
See, you can't have confidence until you know it's his will. You went to him for salvation because you knew it was his will. All right? So if we know, if we ask anything, notice it's not just salvation,
right,
not just healing, right,
anything.
So go and find God's will on what you need,
yeah,
and then ask with confidence.
Yeah.
People say, well, I can't find a scripture in there about my brand new Corvette. I mean, I'm looking for it. Nothing wrong with having a Corvette if that's your thing. I'm just talking about, it's not necessarily talking about like personal things. I mean, you can, yes. If you have a desire for something nice, that's wonderful. Talk to God about that. But, you know, what we're talking about here is the promises of the covenant of his resurrection. Okay? Oh, man, I sense someone is getting upset. You were in that same situation that I was when your theology is getting challenged. I've been there. I know what it's like. I do. My heart goes out to you because one opportunity. You know, I'm going to say this. I taught this on Wednesday nights. I have seen, you know, speaking of 10 years of pastoring, that's just a little bit. It's not a ton. But over these last 10 years, I've seen so many people that have come into this church, and for whatever reason, just like any other church, you have people that come and go. And one particular group of people that I've noticed how God has used our church to bring people in to a place that teaches things such as healing that might not be taught everywhere, okay? Certain denominations, they stay away from it. You know, how about the baptism of the Holy Spirit? You know, people don't teach on it much anymore. Churches stay away from it. How about tithing? We teach on that, you know, much to some people's chagrin. You know, and we teach on things, and I'll see that God will bring in people that haven't been taught these things, and they will sit down with us, and they will hear these things, and it'll put them at a crossroad.
Yeah, true.
That either they're going to jump in and receive the word of God, or they're just going to stray and strand and just stick with a religious form of thinking. And they're going to love their traditions over the word of God. Okay? And what I see is, now that I've understood this, that the Lord will bring people to that place because he knows a test is coming.
Okay.
And he will move you into a place to put you with an instructor that has knowledge on the test that's coming. I went to college. I was a former school teacher. I noticed that when I had a test coming up, when I had a course on Middle Eastern history, I noticed that the college put me with the Middle Eastern history teacher. Because to get my degree, I was going to have to pass that test. And so they moved me into the room where their instructor could help me pass that test. And I've seen how God will move people into this church because they've never heard the doctrine of healing. They've never heard the doctrine of tithing. They've never heard the doctrine of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And there is a test coming.
Right.
And God wanted to protect them and to guard them from that test.
Right.
And so he brought them to an instructor that teaches those subjects.
Yes.
And then I'll watch people, and because it's things, you know, some, they jump in and they pass the test.
Yeah.
Others, they like, this isn't what I was taught growing up. I don't want this. This isn't what my denomination has said. That's not what my tradition says. And they walk away. And the test is still going to come. And they're still going to have to take that test. But now, because they separated themselves from the instructor who had that knowledge, had what they needed for that test, yeah, they will, when that test comes, they'll get devoured by it. They'll get devoured by it. Folks, I'll tell you what, this is an interesting service to be in, because it is a crossroad. It's dangerous. Wouldn't it be dangerous to hear the plan of salvation and reject it?
Absolutely. My goodness.
Isn't it dangerous also to hear the plan of healing and reject it?
Yes, it is.
Isn't it dangerous to hear God's plan on anything and then reject it? Yes, it is. See, the ministry of Jesus, what does the Bible say of him? Is that he was, he's the chief cornerstone, but he's also a stumbling block. And any church that embraces the ministry of Jesus Christ will be the same. You will be a chief cornerstone upon which people can build their lives. Or they're going to get offended and they're going to stumble at those doctrines. God wasn't giving them to cause you to stumble. He was getting you to try to build your life on the full gospel. Oh, come on. And so when you're part of this church, don't get upset when you see people come and go.
That's true.
Don't, because we've seen a lot of people come and go. Because there's some, like you folks, you jump in. And again, family church is nothing elite. We just don't shy away. We don't shy away, but we're not led by what people like to hear and what they don't like to hear. Ooh, praise the Lord. Father, I thank you for boldness today. Because this way, whoa, this is going to save your life. It's going to save your life. Why? The test is coming. Life is going to give us all tests. We might as well have the knowledge and pass the test. I am not here trying to purposely upset what you think, or, you know, trying to undo your background or whatever. I'm just trying to prepare you for the test. You know? There were things I thought I knew about American history, and then I got into college, and you start, you know, learning some things, and you know, maybe your thoughts change on it. You know, well, how much more so when you get into the Word? That's why we put these scriptures on this huge screen, because it's never our opinions. Amen. Praise the Lord. So let's talk about the prayer of faith. Let's wrap this up right here. This is the confidence that we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, like healing, like salvation, what's God going to say? Father, I want you to save me. What's His answer? Yes. Father, I believe that you healed me. Yes. Father, I believe you meet every one of my needs. Yes. Father, I believe that you're going to bring the provision I need to pay my bills. Yes. Yeah. Father, I believe that you fill my mind with peace and joy. Yes. Father, I believe that you restore my marriage. Yes. Yes. What does the Bible say for 2 Corinthians 1:20? For all the promises are yes and amen through Christ. All the promises are yes and amen through Christ. Folks, praise the Lord. I love teaching the people of God how to do the Bible way, right? All
right,
so if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. That's the key. God's got to hear us, all
right?
And so verse 15 says, and if we know that He hears us whatsoever we ask, according to His will, remember, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. As soon as God hears us, we have it. That's the prayer of faith, because that's the prayer that God hears.
That's right. Amen.
Father, I believe 2,000 years ago, with the stripes that were laid upon His back, I believe I was healed.
Yes.
I believe when Jesus bore my sins, I was saved.
That's right.
And now God's just waiting for me to confess it,
that's right,
to believe it.
Yeah.
That's what the prayer of faith sounds like.
Amen.
Father, I believe that with the stripes of Jesus, I am healed.
Yes.
Not I'm going to be, I am.
Amen.
Right?
That's right?
Lord, I was healed 2,000 years ago. You carried my sickness. I'm not going to carry it. Aren't you glad?
Yes.
Here's a prayer of faith. That's how you receive.
Right.
And it says, we know with confidence. He hears us. Father, I thank you. I have it now.
That's right.
Not because it manifested in front of me, but because I know that you heard me. And I can have anything that God hears.
That's right. Amen.
It is the hearing that equals the having.
Yeah.
That's what faith is.
Good.
Faith believes God heard me, therefore I have it.
That's right.
Not, well, it showed up, therefore I have it. I can feel it, therefore I have it. There's no faith in feeling it. You know what I mean? There's no faith in seeing it. The faith comes in when you say, God heard me, therefore I have it now.
That's right.
But wait, the symptoms are still there. It doesn't matter. God heard me. Because
right.
It was according to his will.
Right.
And I have the petitions I ask
yes.
of him. He heard me because it was his will. And the symptoms can't talk me out of it.
That's right.
Amen. Did you get some help? So praise the Lord. That is how
yes.
God's people can receive, for the prayer of faith shall save.
Amen.
The prayer of faith shall save. Folks, this is God's heart. This is my heart's desire for your life. Okay? And maybe it's not even healing. Maybe it's marital, financial, raising children. I mean, whatever it is, the prayer of faith shall save. That's what I want you to have. That's what God wants you to have. And my role is to instruct you how to operate God's way. Because just coming to God and say, God, will you please do this? No, we got to come to God and say, Father, I thank you. 2,000 years ago, I was healed.
Amen.
Father, I believe I'm the healed of the Lord. I am the redeemed of the Lord, and I say so.
Right.
Faith isn't what you're going to have. Faith is what you have now.
That's right.
Faith is what God did 2,000 years ago. You're not looking forward to having these things. You're looking back to having these things. Did you get some help out of this?
Amen.
And so today, when you come forward, I'm just going to agree with you, and we're going to say by the stripes of Jesus, you are healed.
That's right.
And that is where God hears us, and that's where you have it.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
But before we do so, let's go ahead. Let's close our eyes. Let's get ready to pray. And before we invite people